Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and read scriptures to you real quick so you guys can take a break and sit down. Thank you for the praise team, though, man. Man, thank God for our praise team. Amen. I thank God for their talents, right? I'm starting with Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. If you don't know where that's at in your Bible, we will pray for you after church. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And listen to this. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the people that are gathered here in your name, Jesus. Lord, we're thankful, Father, for all that you've done for us already. Lord, we're thankful for all the many blessings that you've already given us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. God, Lord, I ask you, Father, to move me out of your way tonight, Jesus. God, Lord, and use me for your glory. Use me for your kingdom, Lord. God, just let the word flow through me, Lord. The word that you've laid in my heart, God, let it come forth in the name of Jesus, God. And I never want to fail to give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, first of all, I want to say I'm glad that my buddies from work showed up today. You know, it's something when you work with people that are godly men in amongst a bunch of heathens. Amen. It's great. It is a breath of fresh air. It really is. When you see somebody that is like-minded like you, and we all pulling in the same direction, amen, because we know a Savior that saved us from a devil's hell, amen. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I came today with a praise of my heart because I know what God has done for me. I know how much God has already done for me in my whole life, and I cannot praise him enough. I cannot give him enough glory because he's done so much to me already. I'm just excited for him and his word because he's just so good. And this word, that I've been studying this for a long time. I've had this sermon for a while. And to be honest, I've preached it where me and Dave go every 2 weeks. I've preached it over there. I've actually preached it twice. Because it's pretty good, I hope and pray that you guys get what I've got out of it. Genesis 1 and 4 said, "And God saw the light, that it was good." Have you ever been in darkness, like true darkness, like deep darkness? I know that my fellow coal miners, we can all agree with this, that if you turn your light off underground in the coal mines, it is the deepest dark that I have ever experienced. There's nothing like it. It's almost like you can imagine your hand in front of your face, but you can squint as hard as you want to and just hope for a glimmer of light. There is nothing. It is complete 100% darkness. It's almost so dark you can feel it. So think about what God is doing right here in the very beginning of creation when God spoke and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So think about how dark that the earth was. But the way that he said it was, he said, "Let there be light," and God saw the light, and it was good. If we skip down to Genesis 1 and 10, God says this, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good." Genesis 1 and 12 says this, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Genesis 1 and 16, I left these out of my notes. I got a little bit ahead of myself on my notes. So, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Genesis 1 and 21 says this, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." I'm going somewhere with this, so just hold on. Genesis 1 and 25 says this, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Last verse of Genesis. Genesis 1 and 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So you see, in creation, God created everything that we lay our eyes on. Everything that you put your eyes upon, like if you gaze upon the heavens, he created that. If you gaze upon the stars, he created that. If you gaze upon the waters, he created that. And I don't know about you, but I can't help it. We just went to the beach over Christmas break, and I can't help but be in awe when I look at the ocean. Every time I go to the ocean, I just think about what a God. As simple as the ocean is, but it's so beautiful. Shane, give us that picture of the ocean. It's so beautiful just to think about the way that the ocean is laid out. The way that the ocean, the moon pulls and pushes the waves back and forth, and it's so beautiful. It's a majestic thing to me. So think about how pretty this is. Put your mind here. That's a beautiful place, right? Multiple things that we have seen in creation itself that just makes you just stand there and just go, my goodness, it is so beautiful, right? Give me another picture, Shane, just a random one. These are a couple pictures that we took over when we was in Alaska. That's beautiful too, right? Give me another one. That was in Washington. That's another beautiful picture. And I'm not talking about my vacations here. I'm going somewhere with this. I want you guys to just... I was blessed to be able to go and see this. To see it with your own eyes versus a picture is two totally different things. I know the pastor and his wife, they was able to see the Grand Canyon, which I have yet to see, but I want to. It is one of what they call the seven natural wonders of the world. So when we look at creation in itself, just creation itself, Psalms 19 and 1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So think about everything that we see in creation. Now, I'm not talking about anything man-made. I'm talking about what the heavens was created after the word came forth from God's mouth. The things that God spoke into existence, the things that we did not have, that we had. I mean, the things that was not here that are here now because he said it. Amen? The things that he spoke into existence, they came to be. Hebrews 11 and 3 says this, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So that by the faith, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, when God spoke into existence those things, I can only imagine being there, just seeing it with my own eyes. When things become to be right in front of, just nature taking its course right in front of his eyes. Now, we're looking at 6,000 some odd years later in this world that we live in, that the world looks this way, and I could still stand and look at the pictures and the places that I have seen with my own eyes and just stand there and marvel at it and say, my goodness, how beautiful is this creation that you made, God? How awesome you really are. How beautiful your handiwork is. How awesome that you created this from your words. You spoke this into existence. The things that he just said come forth, and it was, and it's just so beautiful. How everything just works all in rotation of itself. When he brought grass, bring forth grass and flowers and everything, and it all just breeds in itself, and it creates itself again over and over and over, and it's lasted the test of time so far. But all of this that I've talked about, and all these places that we went in our minds, you could think about the prettiest place that you have ever seen and be there in a moment. Just close your eyes and think about the prettiest sight that you have seen with your own eyes, and you can be there. But out of all of that, all of those scriptures that I read in Genesis, they had one thing in common. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good, okay? To me, I think it's amazing. To me, I think it's awesome. To me, I think it's wonderful. But to God, he said it was good. To God, he said it was just a thing. He said he created the stars also. Wow. He created the stars also. Man, that's awesome. But yet God saw that it was good. God saw that it was something that he spoke with his mouth, and he said, it is good. And we could stand and now marvel at it and wonder and just stand in awe and just be like, my goodness, my God created that. And give him praise and glory for it because he's worthy of it, because it's beautiful. Now, I want to change gears on this sermon. Because I took y'all to a place of creation and how beautiful, majestic, and awesome, and wonderful, and all the things that there is in nature. But now I want to tell you what actually moves God. Because God saw all those things was good, and I can't help it, but when I go on vacation and I'm looking, I find a peace about it. I find a rest about it. I can find an awesome peace because I can lay there and think, man, my God done this. And another thing, too, is you're not working. You know, I was going to tell you guys about a place that we went to once. We went to Grand Turk Island. It was a beautiful place. And it was a place that I didn't take my phone off the boat, so I didn't take any pictures. It's all right, because I didn't want to take my phone. I have it with me every single day of my life. I'm tired of it, right? But I was able to disconnect, get away, and look at God's creation. And I'm going to tell you this one more story before I change gears. So we decide we're going to go scuba diving. Not scuba diving, snorkeling, right? My wife's not a big swimmer, but my daughters are, and I like to swim too every now and again when it's real hot. That's all. I'm like a cat. Don't want to get in water when it's cool. I can't hardly swim in West Virginia. Just can't do it. But we pull up on this boat, and this guy says, okay, you just jump out in the water. And I'm looking at this water, and I'm from West Virginia, and when I see rocks in the water, I'm not jumping. And this water is so clear that you just, it's crystal clear. It is so clear. It's the clearest water I've ever seen. And this guy's like, come on, just jump off the boat. Just jump off. And I said, I can't jump off the boat. I'm going to hit my feet. He said, man, it's 20 feet. I said, there's no way it's 20 feet. I didn't want to believe him. I mean, the guy's the guide. He's like, jump off. You're not going to get hurt. So I jumped. And sure enough, it's 20 feet. This water's 20 feet deep, and I could see fish swimming on the bottom. That's how clear this water was. And we swim over to the edge of this reef, and you can look this up. It's a Grand Turk Island. It's a 7,000-foot reef wall that's living, 7,000 feet deep. And we're in 20 foot of water, and we swim to the edge, and we're looking into 7,000 feet of deep water to where the sun disappears. Now think about the prettiest place you've ever seen. This is one of them in my mind's eye that I go back to often when I think about creation of God. This place is so beautiful and so just awestruck. I can't help but marvel at his handiwork. But I want to go to Mark chapter 6 now. Starting at verse number 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And he began... And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him was astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is that? Is this which was given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Next verse. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And this is the scripture that I want to get to. In 6 it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now we just talked about all of creation. How when God created it, we all kind of get a little bit excited thinking about the majestic things that we've seen in our life. The things that make us marvel. The things that make us just go ooh and ah. But Jesus himself right here, he is marveling at their unbelief. In all of his creation, he said, it is good. He did not take his breath. It did not make him wonder. Did not make him think about what he created. But this marvel made him. It made him marvel. And to marvel is to be standing in astonishment, in amazement. Sometimes it could take your breath. stand there and wonder and look and just say, how is this even possible? Now, we're talking about the Creator here. We're talking about the God that we serve, the one who caused the lame to walk and the blind to see. He marveled at their unbelief. He was in awestruck at them not believing him. Who is this man? Who is this guy that you say it is? Is this not the son of Joseph and Mary? Is he not just the carpenter's son? Think about the weight that was on his chest then. Think about the grief that he was carrying right then. So this makes God marvel. Your unbelief makes God marvel. But let's make God marvel again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5. And Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion, a pagan, a Roman, a guy that was not even of the fold, a guy that was not even worthy. He was not even close to being one of the people that needed to be near Jesus. He came beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant layeth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak thy word only. Speak thy word only. Just speak the word, Lord, and I know that my servant will be made whole. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to another servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So we're talking about what we said makes us marvel, what makes us move. We mentioned that the unbelief of the people that where Jesus grew up at, the unbelief in him and in his word made him marvel. But yet this man who knew not Jesus, who knew not him as a Savior, said, only if you speak your word, I know that my servant will be made whole. This also made God marvel. So I'm here to ask you today, have you ever made God marvel? And I'm going to answer your question, yes, you have. Because there's been times that I have had unbelief in my life, and I know that I've made him marvel at me. He stood there and said, are you kidding me? Jason, I've taught you this since you was young, and you still don't believe me at my word. But then there's also times that I know that I've made God marvel because I said, God, let it be done, and it's happened. So we, as Christians, as Christ followers, we can make God marvel at us. Not even his creation, not even the things that he's spoken to existence make him marvel the way that your faith makes God marvel, amen. Not even the way that we talk or look or just even look at a situation, that can make God marvel. Because it can go either direction. If I marvel at him or if I make him marvel because of my unbelief and my just not thinking that this is so or not even calling upon his name, that makes him marvel. But if I give it to him, if I give it to him and believe what Mark says in Mark 9, and Jesus saith unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. So I don't know about you, but I've got my mind made up. I want to make God marvel, but I don't want him to make him marvel at my unbelief. I don't want to make him marvel at my unfaithfulness. I want to be able to speak the word and it come to pass, amen. I want to see the sick to be healed. I want to see the ones to be bound to be set free in the name of Jesus. Because I believe that there's power in the name of Jesus, amen. I don't believe that we're serving a dead God that just wrote a dead letter. I believe that he's alive and he's in me today. Amen. Hallelujah. He's still in the church. He's still in the healing business. He's not give up. The doctrine of cessation, that's a doctrine from the pits of hell, because God did not leave us. He gave us a comforter. That's him, God living inside of us. And I do believe that if I lay my hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, they've got to recover. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:22 says this, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Amen. But before faith came, we kept under the law, shut up the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye all are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was born of Kenny and Darlene O'Neill when 1982 I was, but there was a couple years ago. And 10 years ago, God saved my life. 10 years ago, God changed my life forever. I became a new man in Christ Jesus, amen. I became a child of God. Hallelujah. You know, we just went through a pretty bad experience, my wife and I too. I give you guys my testimony before, and I'm going to give it to you again. I can't help it. God done something to me. I drank so much, I drank my heart into AFib, and it was awful. It was one of the worst experiences I've ever been in my life. Well, a couple weeks ago, I got sick, just a random virus, and my heart done it again. And I think it was like kind of like a reminder. Hey, man, you know where I brought you from? You know where I brought you from? Because I was laying in that hospital bed and said, God, you done it before when I wasn't a man of God. You brought me out of this bed. Now, Lord, you bring me out of here in the name of Jesus. Nature has its way of hurting you through your body. It happens. I mean, as age catches up to us, yeah, I know I'm only 41, but it was not a good 41 years. I didn't take care of myself in a young age. I did not. Used to listen to them old timers, they'd tell you, boy, you better not do that. I'd be like, oh man, you're just weak. I'm in way better shape. I'm in way better shape. And now I look at them young guys and say, you better take care of yourself. Just like the pastor was talking about swinging a chisel the other day at Sunday service. And I've hit my hands before. My hands have went home sore. And I didn't care because I was like, oh man, I got the job done. But now it hurts. Things hurt when the rain happens. It hurts. But I know that God is faithful through all of it, amen. God is faithful. Just like I said, 10 years ago, God changed my life. He did. He called me out of a bed. He called me out of a bed of sickness, a bed of alcoholism, and I'm free. I am free from it, amen. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory, because I know that through myself I could do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, through Christ, I can do all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse number 28 says, verse 27, I'm sorry, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, and there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, amen. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I don't know about you, but I'm going home to a builder or to a house whose builder and maker is God. Amen. This world is going to burn away with a fervent heat, but my faith in Jesus Christ is going to take me to heaven. Hallelujah. One of my favorite things that I tell the congregation over where me and Dave go is I tell them, if the blood of Jesus Christ does not take me to heaven, you will not see me there. Because it's only through the blood of Jesus that I'm here today. And it's only through the blood of Jesus that I'm going to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So which one are we going to be? I want us to make up our mind. Through of all the things that you have ever laid your eyes on, I want you to get that in your mind. All the things that you have laid your eyes on that Jesus spoke into existence from the beginning of the world. Those things was just good in his eyes. But your faith, lack of or much faith, makes him marvel. Your faith, either it be too much or too little, makes him marvel. So I got a proposition for every one of us if we call ourselves the household of faith. We do need to put our faith out there and let it move. We do need to put our faith out there that whenever we lay hands on the sick, it's not just a ritual we do on a Sunday morning. It's not just a ritual that we do after the sermon is over. It's not just a ritual that we do that whenever I do this, there is a power transfer for me because God spoke it, amen. And I want to believe him, and I do believe him, hallelujah. I don't want my lack of faith to stop somebody from getting their healing. I don't want my lack of faith from stopping somebody from being free from the bondage that they're in. Amen. Because I do believe what he says in his word. He said, if you believe, if you believe. And I do believe, amen. I believe that God can do anything. I do. I believe that. I believe that with every fiber in me. I believe that God can do anything. Amen. And I want to be here to see it happen. And I want to be part of it whenever we lay hands on the sick and watch somebody's life be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's so much more. I think that sometimes God marvels at us because he's like, what are y'all doing? What are you doing? There's so much more for us. You are a child of God, amen. You're a child of the King. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you this last scripture. 1 John 5 and 14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You know, the pastor says a lot of things to us. He teaches us so much. And I tell it every time I preach here, I can't help it. I'm thankful for our man of God. I am. I am truly thankful for him. I learned more off of him than anybody I've ever sat under. He says this, that you think that your prayer ain't going anywhere. You think that God's not hearing you pray. Well, just start cussing. Just start saying the worst word that you know. Oh, no, I can't do that. God will hear me, but he won't hear your prayer. Come on. Come on. God hears you. He cares for you. Amen. He said, cast all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. No matter how minuscule or how big the problem is, you got a great big God that can take care of anything. Amen. And I want to watch faith in action. I want to watch God move. I want to see miracles happen. I want to see these things in the name of Jesus. Because I don't believe that he would have wrote it in this Bible if it wasn't true. I don't believe that he would have wrote it for his apostles to follow after his doctrine if it was not true. Amen. I believe in him. I believe in his word. I believe what he says. If you read in the book of Acts, if you read from start to finish, nowhere in there does it say that the miracle stopped. They just quit. He wanted us to carry this on. He wanted us to lay hands on the sick. He wanted us to do works. He said, greater works than these are you going to do. Man, we've got to get that mindset. You're going to make God marvel. You are going to make God marvel. Do you understand that? Really think about it for just and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I want you to get this in your mind. Everything that we've ever seen and laid our eyes on is just good in his sight. But the faith that we have inside of us can take his breath. It can make him stand in awe and just wonder, oh my, that is so awesome. That's my kid. That's my son. That's my daughter. Think about Stephen. Stephen, when they were stoning him, the faith that he had made Jesus stand up. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand. He said he was standing. We've got a God that will move at your word because he said it in the very beginning. It moved at his word. And he said, just like the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. I want to speak these scriptures to go forth. I want to watch God's word come to fruition right in front of me. That when I lay hands on the sick, I want to watch them recover. I want to see God move by his word. Because he is faithful, even when we're not faithful, amen. He is faithful. So I am challenging us tonight. Every single one of us. Let's all get to our feet. Every single one of us. I want you to put it in your heart. A prayer that you've had. A prayer that you've had on your heart. I want you to get it in your heart. I want you to start praying it. But I want you to start praying it and believing it. I want you to start praying. I know that there's many folks in here that pray for their family week in, week out, day in and day out. They call their name probably hourly. God is able. God is able. God is able. Amen. God is able. He's able to move upon your situation, no matter how big or small it is. God is able. Amen. So I want you to get that prayer on your heart right now, and I want you to start calling on the name that is above every name, on the name of Jesus, amen, the name that has power behind it, that when we speak the name of Jesus, things have got to change. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Just one word, you calm the storm, this surrounds me.